look at you and I look at you as you are not perfect people. We have flaws. We have things that we deal with, things that we've got to go through, things that we've got to repent from daily. And so, but we have that ability because of Christ in us. Amen. Born again, born of Christ, to where we repent, we ask for forgiveness, and the sins are washed from us and cleansed from us, and we go on. Have a hiccup here, a hiccup there, go back and say, Lord, forgive me. I repent of that sin. I forgive me for not doing what you... I think a lot of it is that we need to repent for things that God has asked us, you, to do, and you're not doing it. Me included, the church included. You know, we just really need to come before God and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive us as a people that have turned our backs on this land that so many people have fought for, died for. The war with the most lost life was the Revolutionary War. That was Americans fighting against Americans, really, the North and the South. Wasn't it? Was that, or Civil War. I'm sorry, Civil War. But, you know, right here on our shores. So, you know, wherever there's a difference of opinions and people want to force their values and things, there's always going to be agitation. And things are going to happen. But I think as a nation and as people, we can pray as Christians. We can pray, and God likes that, and God wants that. And so it's kind of like we have about the same number here this week than last week, and those that were here last week aren't here this week type thing. So it's kind of a topsy-turvy thing here with the holiday time and all. But we shared last week because of most of you. Just turn this way. If not, I'll be like this when I go home. Hey, how you doing? Because of the Supreme Court ruling and things of that nature and what we just came through and seen. And so most of the message from last week, and it carries over to this week, is the fact that I was down and I was upset and I was like, how could that happen? And I didn't know which way to turn, how to go about it. But I had to realize as the time went on and that I began to think about it, that I had to remember that who my God was. Who my God is, and that God is still God. And so we picked up from a verse out of 2 Chronicles 2:5 when Solomon was making this statement, and let me just run through it and capture it down to where we got to the end of this page, where he said, and the temple which I build will be great, because Solomon says, for our God is greater than all gods. And when I read that 2 weeks back, and some other scriptures in the Word of God that says, our God is greater, our God is the God of all gods. That's my God. Is that your God? If it is your God, then we should be uplifted. We should be, hey, even though all around us looks doom and gloom, and it is doom and gloom at times, and there are things happening that are out of my control to a point, but there's one thing that's not out of my control, and that is what? Prayer. Prayer is not out of my control. I can go before my God, who is what? Greater than all other gods. And I can petition my prayer up to him, and I can pray for my land. I can pray for my nation. I can pray for the country. I can pray for the government. And I can turn it over to God. What better one or person or thing to turn it over to than God? And I think that's what a lot of times God is just saying. If you will just cast your burdens where? On him. He's asking us to do those things individually. Do you not cast your burdens on him? Oh, Lord, I'm having a tremendous trial of a day. I've got so much to do. My job is this. My home is this. I got to get this accomplished. These burdens that I've got, Lord, it's just life in general, but I can't handle it on my own, Lord, and I'm going to cast my burdens over to you and let him have them. And when I do that, my steps ought to be a little bit lighter. I should be able to rise up and stand up and take on the next day. Amen? We do that individually with our own personal life. We can do that personally with our life as a citizen of the United States, which, praise God, I was born into this country. Country is made up of all kinds of immigrants and all kinds of people that have come and has formulated this country to be the nation that it has been, and it continues to grow. It's got some hiccups. It's got some problems. You know, I could probably look at, I know I could look at my home life and know that I've had some hiccups and problems in my own personal life and family. How about you? Well, that's going to happen. It's going to happen in a nation as well. But that's not for us to give up. Say, don't give up. Yeah, that's right. Don't give up. We know, I talked about, that the god of the world is Satan, and that's a little g. You know, we find out that god of this world is Satan. He's out here just to turmoil and turn up things, and the only good thing about it is if we realize it and understand it is, the only thing that Satan can do is the things that we allow him to do. It's what you give yourselves up for. It's what you turn from God and allow Satan to have what he wants. You've got to give him the authority or the permission to do a lot of things in your life. It could be by some incidental things that you don't think mean a whole lot, but just because of your actions or inactions to doing things, you open your door up to allow Satan to come in. It says that he sneaks and he's to sneak, kill, steal, and destroy, you know. But he's got to pretty well get our permission. We've got to open up a door. We've got to give him something to hold on to for him to come into our life. We've got to understand and replicate that understanding that if I allow and do things in my life that allows the little god of this world to come into to create havoc and just to create a burr in my saddle and I've got to deal with it, then I turn it over to God. That we as a nation have that same thing. We as a nation open up ourselves, and it's even magnified even more, isn't it, as a nation, to things that are, guess what, contrary to the things of what God wants. Very hard for the founding fathers and for the principles of what this nation started upon to continue for as long as it has. I think a sign out there says, are we at like 239 years as a nation? You know? That's a long time. Just think in your family, you know, has everything in your family been hunky-dory from the very get-go? You know, we got some families out there that have struggles, you know, biting within each other and the family's, you know, tension here and there. And you get a family get-together or a family reunion and it's going, well, if so-and-so's there, I'm not going to go. And, well, you know, now if they're there, you just stay on that side of the pavilion. You don't need to go over where he or she's at. You know, just we just want to make it harmoniously for one day, for 3 hours, just to have some chicken. You know, so we have those little skirmishes with our families. Not every family's got everybody. We love everybody. You know, we've got, you know, those uncles and aunts and cousins and all. It's like, oh, yay, yay. So what do you think about a nation that's got how many billions of people? What do you think of a nation that's led by so many people of senators and representatives and House representatives? And I mean, the transition of powers and all these things that are up there. It's hard to have people. I can tell you, you put two people in a room, and there's a chance that you will not have 100% agreement on everything that you guys discuss. That's just with two people. Put out there 5 people, 10 people, 100 people. Oh, my goodness. Now you got what? You know, it's like, how can we agree upon one thing? It's not easy. I think it's those things to where it'll never happen. You can't get two people to agree on everything 100% all the time. Even husband and wives, there'll be a disagreement. I want to do it this way, you want to do that way. Well, I don't really think it ought to be that way, but then it gets to that point of, well, are you willing to give some ground? Are you willing to say, you know, okay, let's do this way and that way and this give and take and all this. And pretty soon if you do that and it's done in love in these things, it's done harmoniously, that you have common ground and everything's like, there's no problem. We didn't have a disagreement. It was just an opportunity to talk and share some things. So as we as a nation have gone from step one all the way to now 239 years or whatever it is here to this point, there's been a lot of change in our nation, hasn't there? And I guess the thing is that it's changing again. It'll change some more. I believe at times it'll change for the good, and I believe at times it'll change for the bad. And it's one of these things, where are you going to be during those times? What are we going to do? Are we going to run from it? Are we going to sit to the side? I appreciated what Chris had said, you know, as far as, you know, he shared and how true the Word of God says these things are going to happen and it's even going to grow darker and it's even going to get worse. So because of that, do we just sit off to the side and allow everything just to go down the tubes? No. Because I believe that as you stand before God, I believe that'll be one of those things that you need to answer to Him about where were you praying for your nation. My word says you're to pray for the leadership that you're under the authority of. God puts men and women into leadership. If God puts this person into leadership and you don't pray or cover that office with prayer, are you doing your duty as a follower of Christ? Yes or no? I hope you'd say no. But I don't agree with their party. I don't care if you don't agree with their party. Do you agree with God? Do you support what God says? It's not what man says, but what God says. And we'll get down there to it again, but we got to bring up. Yeah, well, we'll go on there. We'll just keep going. But it's like, what does God say about these things? So we found out these things, and let's continue on. Satan has done a very good job of blinding the minds of the people. We know that. He started that decades ago. We talked about 1 Corinthians 1:18, where it says, "For the message or the teaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." We found that out as we remember the cross and what it accomplished by it. We come to understand this, that God works most wisely and most powerfully in ways that are directly opposite of human expectations. Look at your life. Things that God has done in your life, has He always done the things in your life like you would have done them? Or has He done them like, man, Lord, I wouldn't have done it that way, but you did it your way, and you know, it turned out pretty good. So we find that it's not our thoughts and ways that really get the thing done. It's usually if we surrender and step back and say, Lord, not my way, but your way, let it be done. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." New Living says, "If the good news is preached, it is hidden behind a veil. It is hidden only from the people who are perishing." Satan, who is the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. We're going to find a little bit more of that, I hope, down the line here. We find that even though Satan has blinded the minds of the people, we find God, on the other hand, saying, but God, on the other hand, tells us to renew our minds, to change our way of thinking from the world's understandings of things and how the world would deal with it to the way what God thinks of it, right? We're put on the mind of Christ, it says, renewing our minds. Let's look at Romans 12:2, where it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." With all these things that happens and comes down through our government and comes down through the Supreme Court justices and comes down through the land of voting and all this type of stuff that we look at and think, how could it get any worse? Chances are it's going to even get crazier out there. But God is God. And I'm not saying God is causing it and God is doing it, but God is God and God is still God and God is there for us. God will protect you. God will shield you from the things that are taking place even in a society that is going against God if you will obey Him and follow Him and do what He's asked you to do. Amen? Find that in the Old Testament, Sodom and Gomorrah and all the things that were taking place with Lot and, you know, here, get your family. Is there anyone else? Take your family out of that city. So it's a shame that his wife looked back. I think when God says to go and get away, he doesn't want you to look back at what you're leaving, because that just kind of says, well, I still have thoughts and reflections of that back there. Sometimes it's like you've got to go new with God and don't look back. Something in his word talks about when you put your hand to the plow, don't look back, you know? So those things that when you're with God and what God is doing in your life, you need to stay focused on what? God. You stay focused on His Word. You stay focused upon what He's sharing and talking and showing you so that you don't have to, you don't need to worry what's going on behind you, do you? That's the past. And what can you do in the past? You can't change it. It's a done deal. It's stamped. That page is period, exclamation point, question mark. Turn the page. Now you're on to a new page for Monday. Don't worry about Sunday. Don't worry about Saturday. What happened Friday? Sometimes you can't even remember what even happened Friday. Where were you Friday at 2 o'clock? I don't know. Because life and things are just going. You got to focus on the front. You got to put your mind and your eyes and the sight on the prize that God has before you. But anyway, don't look back. But I'm knowing that as I, as a child of God, as I confess Him as my Lord, as I know that He is in control, that even though all hell is breaking loose in a nation of America that was founded on godly principles, that I know that my God will protect me. I don't know how, but I know He will, don't you? I don't know His exact ways. I don't know exactly how He's going to do it. I don't know what's all going to come out of it. We shared a little bit in regards to, I heard a message on Friday on a local station here, and it was about a half hour or 45 minute little thing about the 4th of July and the nation and how it developed and how it was talked about as a nation founded upon godly principles, and how at the time of the war and Britain was coming over and they were going to, you know, take over the colonists that were breaking away and all these things that were happening. There was three or four things that happened during a skirmish that was taking place with George Washington that this gentleman shared, and he said, and this happened, and then this happened, and this happened. And it was showing, and kind of you could look at it as it was the hand of God moving mightily upon that situation way back then because of this nation being founded upon Him. Amen. That He protected those men, those ones that were fighting for the beginning of America, for, you know, the breakaway from Britain. And so he was showing and talking about how God provided these miracles that you look at now that only God could have done. And these were a lot of miracles that took place was of natural things taking effect of water and wind and fog and all this type stuff, which it doesn't surprise us, does us? Because what did He do with the children of Israel when they came to a river that they couldn't cross and there's chariots coming up from behind? He parted the sea. How did He part the sea? Wind. Didn't the wind come? Caused the waves and the water to break and a wall of water. And they walked through on dry ground. That's another interesting story, being that how did it dry out so fast? You know, supernaturally heated air. I don't know, but they walked on dry because if not, they would have been all mushy and yucky and wouldn't get very far. You ever tried to ride your bike or whatever through a mud puddle? Try to take your car out into a field after it's been raining? You're not going to get a lot of traction. So we look at things and how God did miracle things. It wasn't like God came down and stepped in front of them and said, "Stop, I'm God, you cannot go further with your chariots." No, He used the things around, the things that He could work with, the things of the natural, to show His providence of how powerful He is and what He uses. And what He uses, it's up to Him. So, where I'm at in society of 2015, 16, 18, 20, 20, 25, whatever the case might be, things are happening in this world. I'm going, oh my goodness, how is God going to help me and protect me? I just know He will. You can't run fearfully. You can't run like, oh no, it's all lost because, you know, five Supreme Court justices decided for the land of billions and some odd people that this is what the law is going to be, totally errant of what they should be doing, but God is still in control. Hallelujah. Presidents can be the same thing. They can do weird things, you know. Praise God, He's still in control. But because they do weird things and things that I don't like, does that mean I stop praying for them? No. That's my chart of responsibility that I feel God has put before me to say, you need to pray for these people, these authorities, those that are overseeing you. If we get to that mindset that it's a lost cause, that I'm going to stop praying, then we have given really in to the little g of Satan, of this world, because once a people stops praying, it pretty well, God will stop providing and doing things because He will take His hand off of it then, saying, well, if you don't see the need to pray, if you don't see to get me in the middle of this, I'm not stepping into it. You're on your own, guys. I'll let you do battle. I don't want to lose God on my side. I want to be on God's side. I want to instantly pray when things are not going right and release His power, release His authority, release His ability to whatever is going to take place, and I will step back, and when I pray that, then I'm going to say, hallelujah, thank you, God, for the power and the praise and worship you, Lord. You're my God. Hallelujah, glory to God. and watch the enemy tumble, watch the enemy fall, watch the enemy scramble. And I'll say, that's my God. That's my God. And it's not surprising me because I've read how he moved mightily in so many areas and verses and chapters of the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, but so much in the Old of the things of Israel, how he was taking them through all of these things and always there to provide. And when they didn't have water, he gave them water. When they didn't have food, he gave them food. I tell you what, you're not going to go or live very long if you don't have water first and then food. What is it? After about 3 days without water, you're pretty well wiped out. You're done. Probably within the third day, your body is shutting down. You're starting to hallucinate. You're out of your mind, from what I gather. A lot of us, food wise, we got some storage. We're kind of like a little like doomsday preppers, but we've already got it prepped. And I don't know. But water, if you don't have water, you're pretty well, you will not survive. I was talking to somebody who was sharing along that line in a seminar we were at, and they say, you almost go out of your mind. You just water. So anyway, we understand that the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds and the eyes and the people here. We are renewing our minds because in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. When it says, do not conform to this world, the world here, when it says, do not conform to this age which refers to this godless system. We are truly in the respects of our country and where we're at, in a godless system at times, aren't we? Because we're seeing things happen that shouldn't happen. How could it happen? Well, it's happened. I think rather than how did it happen and where did we go wrong, we don't need, here again, guys, we don't need to focus on the past. And I'm probably guilty of it, just like maybe some of you, but I start looking back at the past and the history and saying, well, back in 1960, back in 1968, back in 1980, we're focusing on all the stuff that's back there. It's already done. It's a done deal. It's over. We got to project to the front. We got to project to the future. We got to sit there and say, I don't care what happened back then. Whatever's happened back then can be changed up there with God. With God. There could be a change of the abortion policies. There could be a change of taking the Ten Commandments out of schools and out of federal buildings and out of any monumentals and things of that nature. There can be a change of same-sex marriages that was just instituted, you know, by the Supreme Court. These things are subject to change if we can remain faithful and strong and adamant in our prayers that, God, this is your nation. You have given us this nation. You've granted us this land. You have provided so much. And, Father, we just ask for that same provision to come down now again after we repent and stand in the gap for this nation. So remember, the world here is talking about the age. It's the accept, if you accept the pattern of the age whose God is the devil. If we as a church, as we as individuals accept the things that are done as a society, as a government, as whatever group out there, if we just sit back and say, well, that's them and that's not me, you somehow are accepting that type of a thing. Everything that we do, everything that we say, everything we walk out, everything that we're standing for needs to be prefaced and goes forth by that of love. You confound the enemy when you walk in love because they're looking at you to react in hostility. They're looking at you to act in mean words and derogatory things and this and that. I would much rather walk in love and allow God to be God than me to try to walk in anger and strength of my own and try to fix it myself and let God just kind of hang out on the ledge on the side or something, you know? I want to put God out there first, man. Let him go. For he says something in his word about the battle is mine. I know that looks back in those times of the back when we think the Israelites and all that was taking place back then and the wall of Jericho and all these things. And oh, that's the battle God's talking about. My God is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. The battles that I have today, He's still God. The battles that I have tomorrow, He's still God. And if it's a battle, and God's Word says, the battle is mine, I'm not going to take it from Him. I think sometimes what we have done is we have tried to do the battling ourselves. We think that we can do it. We think that we can do this and do that, or whatever the case might be. In some reasons, maybe some good thoughts on why we think we can do that, but we've veered off course of what God says and what He's asking us to do. So anyway, 1 Corinthians 2:16 talks about this. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But here's the clincher. But we have the what of Christ? But we have the blank of Christ. What does your Bible say? Mind? Don't be shy. I know there's not a lot of people here, but you can shout. You know? Mind! Have the mind of Christ. You've got to have the mind of Christ. That's what it says here. But we do have the mind of Christ. If anyone, where are we at here? Oh, for he who knows the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, I'm going to go back here real quick and read from about 6 on. It says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, not the things of this world, not the things that we're in here, okay, nor of the riches of this age who are coming to nothing. The things that are here, just they're temporal, right? But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. Now, when we talk about a mystery, it talks about a mystery is not meaning a mysterious or a difficult thing to understand. It's really just saying that it's a truth that is hidden in God's mind until he chooses to disclose it. We look at that as the plan that he had of redemption in the mind before the creation of this world. God already knew how he was going to redeem this world at creation already, right? Did it surprise him when Satan had Eve take a bite out of that forbidden fruit? Did God go, uh-oh, boy, that got me off guard? He knew it. When the things of this country has been legislated and voted on and done and is not right, whether it's abortion, whether it's now the homosexual gay marriages, did that surprise God? Did God wake up on that Friday after they voted Thursday 2 weeks back and God go, oh, boy, that was a curve I didn't see coming about the same-sex marriages. See, guys, nothing under the sun surprises God. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. He already knows what it's going to be like 5 years from now in America. Do you? I don't. I can imagine maybe and think, well, you know, you can look on a timeline and say, well, this happened and this happens now and I can see another five. But how do we know that that five-year window down the line is not when God really comes into this nation again because of the power of the church, the power that is in the church because of that of the Spirit of God as his children, as we, as believers, come together. Now, how are we all going to get together as a church? It's not that. It's by that, through prayer, as we unite in prayer for this nation. If I pray for the nation of this country to be led by you, God, and for you, God, to come down and to forgive us our sins, Lord, and forgive us, and we repent of that, and I did not do what that person did up in the government or the justices did, but Lord, I just repent for that and I ask for your forgiveness upon them, and Lord, I pray for their spirit. I pray for their soul. I pray, Lord, that you would touch their mind. I would pray, Lord, that you forgive us as a land for where we're at today in 2015. As we pray those things today, how do I not know that in 2 years there could be a total change of God coming into the scene and things start looking good? See, but God already knows what's going to happen 2015. Well, this is 2015. 2020, you know? I guess what I've got to do and what you need to do and what we need to do as a church is we need to, have that mind of Christ. We got to be praying in the Spirit. We got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. We got to be listening to the thing. Because when we know not how to pray, the Spirit does what for us? When we know not what to pray, the Spirit does what? prays for us. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. We put so much work into trying to find out, oh, if I could just know what to pray about. Oh, if I just knew how to turn this around. Oh, if I just, oh, Lord. The devil likes to hear a Christian say that. The devil likes it when a Christian's confused and we're running around like, oh, the sky's falling. I don't have an answer. What are we going to do? You want to put the devil on his heels and run in the other way? You just say, by the power of God, I'm lifting this prayer up to you, Father God, and I'm not turning it away, and I'm not going to run from it. I place it before you, God. And although all things are falling aside me, they fall from the left, and there's a scripture where they fall from the left and they fall from the right, we are going to keep going forward with the things of God. Do not give up. Unite together as a church. Unite together as a small church, as our prayers go up and you're praying for the salvation of this nation. Church down the road is small church. They're united. They're praying for the salvation of this nation. Church out over here is a church of a mega church of 25,000 people. They're praying for salvation of the nation. What is the commonality of all that? Praying for the salvation of this nation. Unity. Going forth. The most important thing is that. It's not prosperity. It's not to say, well, Lord, just unload a bucket of money on this nation. Because right now, our officials will just squander it away. There would be nothing to show for it. No. You pray that if our officials that are elected can be regenerated in their spirit to be born again for those that aren't, open up their spirit to the Spirit of God, open up their mind that is closed off, that is not listening, that is blocked. Let them begin to renew their mind. If every official that was elected in this nation, from the federal to the state to the local, if they all renewed their mind, and if they all walked with the mind of Christ, what would happen? What would happen? Wow. It'd be like heaven here on earth. Walking with the mind of Christ. My president has the mind of Christ. My senator has the mind of Christ. Oh, but one's a Republican and one's a Democrat. I don't care, but they got the mind of Christ. They got the mind of Christ. Don't pray for the parties. Pray for the person's soul. Pray that their mind is renewed. Pray that they have the mind of Christ. And when that happens, it says in 2 or 1 Timothy, that when we pray for our leadership in those things, you will live in a blessed nation. You will live in a calm place. You will be happy. Right now, there's not a lot of happiness in America, is there? There's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of things. And that's what really the agent of that, the little god of this world, wants. He just wants to stir up stuff. Didn't you ever have somebody in your class as a kid or in your neighborhood just want to be one of those who just wants to instigate and stir up things? It's like, ugh, just can't leave well enough alone. He can't leave or she can't just, when it's all calm, that's when they're looking around going, ooh, I got to stir this up. It's too calm. I want distractions. I want, upheaval. That's what the devil, the god of this world, the devil is wanting to do in America and around this world. But say, hey, in America, he just wants to keep stirring the pot. It is so sad to think that we've got so many far away as we are from the things of racial divide that was back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, how we seemingly have it still of today. Man, but it's still there. And I'm going to tell you this, every one of us has a prejudice within us. There, you go, I'm not prejudiced on anything. You have a prejudice. There, it's within us. There's just some things. Just because it's in you doesn't mean that you can't work around it or change it or become accepting or work through it. Amen? But it's how you work through it. I think a lot of it is if we just begin with that mind of Christ. My goodness, we've got so much here. Oh, Lord, help us. I think where we're at, I think as a body of believers, I think as the church, you are the church, I'm the church, we got a place we meet as the church. We are in a very pivotal time of our Christian faith and beliefs and values in this land. We understand the things as we read in the Old Testament and things that when a nation, when a city, when a country goes so far away from God and they keep stepping back and having more of a divide of those things, there's only ultimately one thing that's going to happen is God will eventually continue to take his blessings and protections off. Right? He can't continually give the same 100% of providence and protection and blessings to a nation that was totally God-fearing, had the Ten Commandments, had prayer in this and prayer in that, and our government and our city officials, everything that started off with a prayer. Now we stop this and stop that, and we're getting further away, and now we allow this to happen. Now we take life no matter what. Now we allow this to happen. You know, there is a point in time where I would see that, you know, he steps back a little bit further, or I don't know if he's stepping back or we're stepping away from him maybe. Maybe God's not moving. Maybe we are, do you think? And the further we get from him, I think he's going to say, you have charted your own course. You know, isn't there something like that? You know, we're stay on the course with him, but we slip away from that. It's not a lost cause. I'm not saying we're giving up. But we can be careful of these things that, you know, things will even grow darker. I don't know how much darker, but it's going to happen. But, you know, we still have God, and we can still pray, and we can still lift these things up to him. When those things happen, do you ever, as an individual, do you feel like, it's like, what's the use? You can be honest. You know what? I've felt that way at times. What? As a pastor? I've allowed my human side to come into things. I've allowed my emotions. I've allowed to receive what the world is feeding me in the media and believing it like, oh, it must be so. After that whole thing came up, something in the media said, well, I guess what society is going to see is they're going to see that we're seeing a change of a Christian nation and Christian values, that even they are being now to where there's less of them and there's more of this value of acceptance of all these other different lifestyles, you know. And as soon as I read that or heard it, I said, that's a lie. That is a lie. Now, there are some things happening and adjusting in numbers and all that of things, but I'm going to tell you, you can take a poll and a survey, and you can have those things turn out to say whatever you want them to say. You just word the question with one little word different, or you word it this way, or you say it that way, and it like spins the whole thing around. You can look at those. It's a barometer. It's something to be aware of. But I'm going to tell you, I believe there's a lot more people in this nation that are not truly for what just took place with the Supreme Court. Abortion came into it with a small number of people. I think prayer and taking those Ten Commandments and things out of the schools came in under a small amount of people. I don't have the numbers, but I'm going to tell you, I truly believe things that I've read in the past, and I'm not remembering all, but it seemed like it was a small group of people that just happened to be very vocal that gets their way. What's the old thing that the world will say? The squeaky wheel gets the oil? You know? Well, the small group of people in a society that wants to push their agenda, if they could just be vocal enough, they'll get whatever they want because nobody wants to contend to them. Nobody wants to stand up, and it makes it sound like there's a majority and there's not. And when I read that, I said, that's a lie. The media and things, they're so full of lies. They're so full of wanting to slant it to where if by just ending, by reading things that you can be defeated by just the paper, the media, words and paper. I mean, my goodness, it just, I read that, I was about ready to give up, and then all of a sudden the spirit in me said, oh, no, it's not. No, no, no. I believe there's still more out there that believe this, 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 and this. It's just their voices aren't being heard. They're not being written about. They're just there, you know. So I don't know where it all ends and leads, but God is God, amen? And I wrapping up here, I just want to, I want to wrap this up, but it's too important. Do you ever feel like we're at a crossing point or a tipping point or a turning point, and in a society, in some pivotal things that are going to take place. You know, those things happen in decades or, you know, a century here, changes this, changes that. I know somebody had brought it up, and some things that do studies of a civilization in a country, it's pretty hard to keep a country together after it hits the 200-year mark. Because after that, there's just so much in it. There's so much division and wanting this and wanting that, and you've grown, it's almost like you've grown up too big, and there's so much, you know. It's like, how do we handle this thing? So I don't know. Maybe it's by that or the grace and the mercies of God that we as a nation right now, you know, 39 years, I think, past that, I believe. So we've passed that point. But there are studies, I guess, out there that show civilizations and dealings of those things. It just means more of us to pray about. But I think we as a nation, we're at one of those crossroads, and which is how we're going to handle it. We just got to stay strong to the things of God. If we looked at some of the things really quick about this, is our God is a God of all gods. Psalms 95:3 says, "For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods." Psalms 135:5 says, "For I know that the Lord's great and our God is above all gods." Psalms 97:9, "For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods." Psalms 96:4 says, "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." So no matter what takes place in this world, no matter what takes place in the sphere of your influence and where you're at, amen. Decisions that are made that contradict God's values and morals, for you and me, we have the ultimate victory already. But we are here to continue to lift up this nation. We are here to continue to lift up those that make laws and things that lead us as a nation. Please don't give up. Please don't turn in the towel. Please don't feel defeated. We need each other, amen? We need as a church to come and be exhorted and to be encouraged. I hope through some of these messages and some things that you read and see and the testimonies and things of what's happening that we find that God is still the God on control and how he's taking care of things. But one thing that we look at, or did I? 2 Chronicles 7:14 is so powerful, and it's used many times during the National Day of Prayer, and it's always used, but it's God's word. So you want to use it, amen? So it's my people who are called by name, my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. I guess our question is, do you believe that America can be healed? Yes or no? Yes, I believe my country can be healed. Just continue to be strong in prayer. Continue to be, when you hear something that comes out of the legislature and it's really wacky and is this and how can that be? You just need to go to prayer. Pray for the mind of Christ in our leadership. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Father, for this great nation. It continues to be a great nation. It's not a perfect nation. And Lord, we know that we have stepped further away from you and your values and moralities of what you would want as a nation and as of a people. But Lord, we can come and we can stand in that gap and we can lift up these things to you, Father, and ask for repentance and ask for forgiveness for what's taking place. And above all things, Lord, we can pray for those that are in leadership, praying for those that make laws, pray for those that set the course of this nation. For we understand, Lord, that we see these things happening, and it's by that of an office, by that of a direction of people, by that of a body of whoever up in our legislature, Lord, that can just by the stroke of a pen can change so many things. So, Lord, we pray for their salvation. I pray right now for men and women of this land, Father God, that are serving in any governmental official that can make changes and directions and laws, Father God, that you will open up their minds, and that, Father, we pray, and I pray, and I lift up their soul for salvation, Father God. I pray you would bring men and women and something across them, Lord, to share the gospel, to build a relationship with them, for them to begin to hear the truth of you, Lord, and that their minds would be renewed. I pray for the renewal of the minds of our people of this nation, for those in government, and even of this people of this nation that make up the populace, Lord. I pray that the renewing of our mind, that I pray that our minds would be that of the mind of Christ, and that we would be a vibrant and strong nation, Father God. We thank you for your providences. We thank you, Father, for your grace, Father God, and how, Father, you are there. And Lord, we will not give up on this nation, Father God. We will stand in the battle line, Father, as we go forth, Lord, like this is a battle taking place even now, Lord. But we go, Father, not in our strength and not in our ability. We go in your strength and ability, and we realize, Lord, that we are not going to do the battle. We're going to place it before you and say, Lord, let thy will be done. Even though all things are happening around us, Lord, let us always keep the focus upon you. Let us trust you, believe in you, have faith in you, Father God. And even when things do go south, Lord, that we would be protected by you, that you would provide a way that only you could do, and that only you would be able to confine the wisdom of those of this life that would not understand. Because, Lord, we are your children. You have put us here. Find us faithful into doing what you would want us to do. We stand our ground. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We do pray for the president. We pray for that office. We pray for the legislature, the senators, all of those, Lord, justices, Lord God. We just lift them up to you, Lord, asking, number one, for their salvation. Number two, that you would keep them safe from any harm. And that, Father, you would work mightily in their personal and public life. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.